Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
All right, let's bring in Scott Braun. You catch MLB Network this week, Young Stars Week, as they count down the top 25 players in Major League Baseball under 25 years old across its programming. Plus, Scott will call tomorrow's Dodgers-Pirates game exclusively on YouTube at 12:30. Follow Scott at Scott Braun, B-R-A-U-N, on Twitter and Instagram for more info. And Scott joins us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Hello, Scott. How are you?
Adam and Dustin, I'm great. I'm experiencing all the emotions during this weird weather day. I'm in New Jersey today, and there was like this epic storm where there's lightning striking trees. I literally saw fire off of a tree from lightning right in my family's backyard as I'm helping them clear out our old hometown house for a couple hours
today. Oh, my God. What did you do?
Literally lightning, fire. I mean, it didn't turn into a whole fire, obviously, but I was like, whoa, that's a thing? So, and now it's beautiful, sunny day.
That's bizarre. Like, what happened? The fire just went out on its own?
Yeah, it created a spark. It was like a little burst, and then it just died because it's raining so hard.
Okay. Wow, that is nuts.
Yeah. That's bizarre. Crazy,
I'm here. Wow. I'm good.
You're alive. Right. That's good. That's good news.
That's right. So, Scott, we were just talking the last segment about, you know, Frank Kona criticized himself. I don't understand. You know, last night he, in the top of the sixth, he let Shane Bieber was cramping, and he let him come out and hit again in the sixth. I don't know what he was thinking there. He kind of ripped himself for it, but it just, again, brings me back to the fact that even though I think the owners and certainly the players wanted the DH this year, that these sides hate each other so much that even that couldn't be figured out. It's so aggravating, I find, as a baseball fan.
I don't want pitchers hitting. I've been pretty vocal about that. And I heard you guys earlier talking about, you know, the younger generation. And obviously I'm all over that this week, too, with our Young Stars Week. So, I'm a big pro Universal DH. I mean, I have the memories of being a kid and watching the hitter get a knock. And, of course, people can talk about Bartolo Colon and all that. But, yeah, no, I just think pitchers aren't groomed for that. And I want to see DHs in the game. You know, I want to, there are guys that fill that role well in the National League. I always think it's a severe disadvantage too for teams, especially when you get to the World Series and even the way you're trading guys, signing for guys. So yeah, I mean, first off, Tito, props, straight up guy, been in the biz for a while. He's going to say when he does something wrong, I would say just about every time. I've always been a big fan. So, I mean, I'm 100% on board with you guys, and I do, just going off, you know, this isn't Ken Rosenthal on the line or, you know, one of the insiders, but I do think that next year there won't be pitchers hitting anymore again. So I know people talk about the strategy, and it's weird. I'll talk to some people that are into a lot of new school ideas, but then they're like, but I like the strategy. There's plenty of other strategy. It's fine. That's not what I think that the masses and the casual audience is so into, is that, oh, we have to, oh, I can't wait to see that double switch tonight. Like, come on. You know, I can't wait to see Jordan Alvarez because he's not a great fielder, or Eloy Jimenez, who actually I think should just be a DH. So, guys like that, you know.
Franmil Reyes here.
Franmil Reyes for sure. I'm in New York City area. Pete Alonso and Dom Smith should both be playing every day, and the Mets were kind of built for that. And Dom's done a nice job in the outfield. But I mean, we could come up with probably 10, 15 names that are really good bats. Kyle Schwarber. We did this with young stars this week. There were probably 4 or 5 guys on our list where I said bat, and I'd prefer them to just be a bat, but you can't always do that. So I'm 100% on board with you guys, and I think it'll be hopefully next year when, you know, things can get kind of resettled, and hopefully we get a few more changes. I'm the most progressive. I've been talking to you guys about extra inning rule forever, and now most GMs and managers I talk about are like, I could never go back. And if I talked to them a year and a half ago about this, they'd be like, no way, that's ridiculous. But I did it. I called those games in the World Baseball Classic with Cliff Floyd, and we were like, this is awesome. You want some strategy? There's a guy on second, you know? So for me, it's been fun. I don't think it takes away from any, you know, purity or anything like that. And it just makes sense. So I'm on board. Anything new you're bringing up, I'm probably going to say yes, please.
Scott, what was your take on, you know, Gerrit Cole's comments, of course, and just the whole foreign substance situation?
I mean, it's probably, you know, weird and uncomfortable for him, because now we're going to go through that transition phase where I do think, you know, changes need to be made. It's not like this has never been discussed. First of all, I mean, if you're deep in the baseball world and you read people like, you know, Eno Saris, who does an awesome job for The Athletic, I mean, he's been talking about spin rate and how, you know, something can affect the baseball for a long time. And, you know, we remember, like, even not too long ago, what, maybe 6-7 years ago, Michael Pineda, and we can see the pine tar. It's just that, you know, technology advances itself, and it goes from pine tar to sunscreen to sticky tack and whatever else they're using. So it just gets to be too much. And it's just, let's just play it like it is. We're throwing it all out there. I think you're getting a lot of players speaking out suddenly. And, you know, obviously Cole was kind of, I think, in a weird spot, because I think changes are going to go on right now. And, yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, I think you could probably read between the lines on what's been going on and what his thoughts are and what, you know, say his usage has been. So I think, you know, there's going to be changes right now, and we're going to see that. And the way that it helps us too is that we're so analytically driven, or we at least have the data to be able to see, like, oh, this is actually helping. This is working. You know, spin rates are going down, strikeouts are going down, and strikeouts aren't going to just go severely down, you know, when there's more policing going on with this, which I think will go on now for the rest of the season. There's still a lot of other changes, I think, that will come up to the game over the next few years to get the ball in play more, to, you know, have pace of play kind of increase itself. So, you know, the issue has escalated, and I think measures are being done to rectify it right now. That's my take.
Yeah, it's a good take, Scott. And you know, I've really, as I was saying, I don't know if you heard it as you were coming on, like, I have – you know, I'm 50 years old, and I was such an old-school baseball fan for so many years. And in the last couple of years, I have totally gone the opposite way. I didn't think I would like the extra innings. I love the extra innings rule. I don't understand why anybody doesn't like it. You're 100% right. I'm fine with the 7-inning doubleheaders. I love the 3-batter minimum rule. I want to see them get rid of shifts. I want to put boxes at second baseman and second base and short that they got to start in. I'm for any dramatic change to get more offense in the game. I even, like, Bill James was on MLB Network with Brian Kenny this week, and he was talking about you can't use more than 3 pitchers in 9 innings, not more than 11 pitchers on the roster. Some of these are extreme, but I think baseball needs to make some extreme changes. The using the electronic strike zone, all that. I'm rambling at this point, Scott, but are you for all these things?
More too. I can pile on for you. And this is all, like, this isn't like criticizing or anything. This is just evolution. You're not saying, like, oh, the game stinks. Like, no, you're just, like, updating with the times, and you're also updating with baseball. Has so many brilliant minds, both players and front office members, that they know how to adjust to what's given, you know, in front of them. So that's where shifts get, you know, in my mind, I'm with you. I want some shift rules in there, just like we have whatever, you know, like NBA's messed around with, you know, illegal zone and back and forth and stuff like that. You know, those kind of rules I think are fine to tweak as the league changes. So I'll add more to you. For maybe what, 4-ish years ago it was at this point, you never even hear a word about it. And if anything, I think we could go even further is the mound visits, right? And just the timeouts in general. I remember sitting in playoff games, watching certain veteran catchers every at bat go have a chat with their pitcher. And I'm like, what is this? You get 100 timeouts a game? This is ridiculous. Yeah. So I started becoming very vocal about that. I wasn't the only one. In this area and on our network, Joel Sherman's been big on that and writing about it for years. It happened. They put a limit on it. It completely changed things, and you didn't even notice. But what you it just helps. What you would notice is if we brought it back, you'd be like, this is ridiculous.
Yes.
So if anything, I think it's still 60. I don't even remember what how many you're allowed anymore, because we barely, like, it's not even a factor anymore.
Yes,
it's just, you know, it's
right.
A few times a game where they're, besides obviously, you know, pitching coach coming out, but that's included in your timeout. So I think that's worked super well. And then the next step on that end, in terms of like, let's get things going, you know, like in terms of the pace of just wanting to see action, is the pitch clock. Cause I've seen it work in the prospect league, the Arizona Fall League, and the minor leagues. It's actually awesome. And it's not going to change the game at all. And it's just going to keep things rolling for any of the pitchers that are too slow. The pitch clock's just as much for the hitters. Cause when it hits a certain time, however they want to do it, like say 5 seconds, batter has to be in the box. Cause the batter often, you know how it is.
Yeah.
It's
stepping
all right,
out.
I took ball one upstairs. It didn't touch anyone. It wasn't in tight. I'm all good. Where are you going? I now step out. I play with my batting gloves. I think about, you know, they're thinking now, all right, what did the hitting coach just tell me? The pitch number two from him, 80% of the time he's going slider. If it's 1-0, whatever, like enough, you know, there's a clock for the quarterback to spike the ball. There's a clock for the basketball players to shoot the basketball. There should be a clock for this too. And I'm telling you, it would be awesome. And it would be another change where you're like, okay, like I'm not hitting my phone again because there's stuff happening.
Right. Absolutely. 100% right. I agree with it all. Scott, you know, we had John Heyman on yesterday and I brought up this idea. Now I haven't figured out, and you know, baseball can figure out the amount of years specifically. So don't, you know, forget the exact amount of years. I'll just use years as an example. But one of the big problems with baseball off the field is that in football and basketball, we have young players come right to the big leagues, right? Right to the NBA, right to the NFL. Now, I understand you're not going to do that in baseball, but baseball's the opposite. The current system encourages teams to not call up their best players. I know Kelnick, everybody was angry about that. Now he was terrible and goes back down. But still, I think they should in the CBA come to an agreement where instead of the 6 years that now become seven, they should just make it, if we draft you out of high school, we have control of you for 9 years, majors, minors, whatever. We control you for 9 years. In college, we control you for 7 years. Doesn't matter if you're in the majors or minors. And this way, there'd be no manipulation, and teams would be encouraged to bring up good young players. Now, maybe guys get rushed. That could be a negative. But I think, you know, if you figure out the right years, I think that makes a lot of sense. We got to stop discouraging teams for calling up young players, especially teams like the Indians, who that's the only way they can win because they're not going to spend money, and yet they're encouraged to keep guys like Nolan Jones or Bobby Bradley or whoever in the minors.
Yeah, call up the young guys. Although I will say, and yes, so first off, I'm on board, and I looked at either that, like you get a certain number of years, or there's an age, right, where it's like at this age, you know, then they can move. The years
right.
Probably, I guess, makes more sense. Whatever it is, it's not that complicated to figure out, so I'm
right.
With you. You never want to have a conversation about a player saying, oh, well, he's not going to, you know, get called up for the first few weeks or something like that. Like, no, why?
Right.
I mean, Pete Alonso, a few years ago, when he was rookie of the year, the Mets said, we're not doing that. We're bringing you up day one. You deserve to be here, you know? So no matter what the case is. So I think it will just help everyone. I think front offices would probably enjoy that too, just the fact that they don't have to worry about, like, figuring out, hey, how long are we going to have this guy? Because right now you're playing to what the rules are that are in place. You want to have a guy, an asset, for as long as possible. So yeah, that makes sense to me. I want to see the young guys come up right away too. Of course, you want this is MLB. You want the best players in the world as soon as they're ready. But I do think sometimes we go a little overboard just with the conversation. Some guys
sure.
Make sense where we're like, how is this guy not up? But I've even been a victim of it myself where I've said that before. And then the guy comes up and you're like, oh, never mind. This year especially has been weird because most of the guys haven't played in the minor leagues last year. So Kelnick, you know, was definitely a guy getting discussed a lot, and he came up, and it's fine. But that's the thing, is I don't want any reluctance. Like, we could bring Kelnick up day one, and if week three, he's been 0 for 32, we send him back down, and it doesn't matter. Like, we have the guy for a certain
right.
chunk of time, you know, because I do think sometimes we go crazy and then a guy comes up and then it's like, oh wait, you know, it actually could have used another X amount of time in the minor league. So sign me up for that one too.
Scott, do you think the Indians, with all the injuries that they've had, can still hang around?
I do, pitching wise. Yeah. And also I just think because of what the Twins have put together. I mean, let's be real, at this point, I use 19 and 31 as the barometer because that's what the Washington Nationals were when they won the World Series in 2019. So you look at that number, and I think teams will look at that and be like, hey, we could go on a crazy run. I mean, people were saying, hey, let's trade the whole Washington Nationals club right now. Scherzer's gone or whatever, and then they win the World Series. So that's a good barometer. At this point, Minnesota's 24 and 36. So it's actually what? That's the same. It's 12 under still. But we know. I mean, that's very rare that that's going to occur. So I think with Minnesota falling off, we know Detroit's not there yet. Kansas City's playing about 500 baseball, which I expected. There's only two other teams. We know the White Sox are, I think, really good. And then there's Cleveland. So I think just based on what they're dealing with in their division, I do think that they can hang around for the entire season and be a playoff contender. Now, if you told me the Cleveland wins the World Series at the end of the year, I'd be quite shocked. But I definitely think that they will be playoff contenders for the entire season. If you just look at what's going on right now, I mean, there's, in my mind, there's two teams in the West. It's Oakland and Houston. There's three teams in the Central, White Sox, Cleveland, and then Kansas City. I don't think they're a playoff team, but I think they could be in the 500 range for the season. And then there's Tampa Bay, Boston, and New York. Well, that's where I guess the East gets stacked, but they're not all going to be, you know, 90-plus win teams. So answer is yes. I think they'll contend all year.
Biggest stunner. You mentioned the Twins at 24 and 36. Is it that? Is it the Yankees at 32 and 29? Is it the I was going to give you one other team that is surprisingly good. Oh, or is it Boston at 37 and 24? Biggest surprise of those three in the American League.
Oh, I thought there was one more, too. San Francisco's been really good, too. But that's
okay.
The National
League.
But, yeah, in the American League, I would say the Yankees, that's not surprising me because I do think they're a home run reliant team. They're going to be streaky. I think it's a very Garrett Cole-reliant starting rotation. Bullpen's pretty solid. This is about what I expected them to be. Now, if the Yankees were 10 games under, we'd be freaking out. But they're three games over. It's a competitive division. I picked the Rays to win the division before the season started. If anything, with Boston being better than most expected, that's going to hurt the Yankees a bit too. But this is about where I expected the Yanks to be right now. I do think this roster is too reliant on the homer. It's not that athletic. It's starting to almost like remind me of the Yanks teams that had four DHs and they were kind of falling behind for a little bit, and then fast forward 10 years later and we're getting in that spot. And I just didn't think they set themselves up really well with their rotation either. So I think Tampa Bay is – I thought Tampa Bay was better coming in. Now I think they're much better because not only is it the record, but the Rays have the top farm system in the sport. I mean, Wander Franco is the top position player prospect in baseball. He's not up. Yeah. This guy, Vidal Brujan. There's a lot coming. So anyway, biggest surprise for me – I'm going to go Minnesota at 24 and 36. I didn't see it being this tough. And it's honestly, I don't know if it's turning around. I don't think it's turning around. I think they're going to be trading off guys at the deadline. And it's always a shame. We say it every year that Buxton's not healthy, but I'll take that as biggest surprise for now. And I think it'll still be tough for Boston just based on, I mean, I think they'll be good. I think it'll be tough to sustain what they're doing with their pitching.
And you know what's amazing? Last thing, Scott, you mentioned the Rays, and what they do is incredible, right? They always find guys on the fringes, and they always seem to perform for them. And you look at their bullpen, like I drafted Peter Fairbanks in my fantasy league, like in the 15th, 16th round. I thought he'd be the closer. But, of course, then it's Diego Castillo. And then they trade for J.P. Fireisen, and he's getting saves. And it's like whoever they throw in that bullpen might get a save on any given day, and they all pitch well. It's crazy.
If we talked about this like 5-6 years ago, and I remember when we did, I remember someone was pretty upset that he moved on. Corey Dickerson, they traded him like right before the season started or in spring training, and they were doing all these moves. There was so much turnover, and I was like, how does the team even get used to each other? And the Rays were like, we have a system. This is what we're doing, and now it's working better than ever. So you look at the team now, they were in the midst at one point of a double-digit win streak. What'd they do? They traded their solid shortstop who he actually has huge home road splits and just could not see the baseball in the trap, I'd say, more than any other player I've seen there. So it makes sense. And he's thriving in Milwaukee. But they were like, yeah, we have three, four other shortstops in the minor leagues that are going to come up and probably hit more than him. So, and they were in the midst of a double-digit win streak, I believe. And he's one of the, if the most popular player in the clubhouse. Crazy. And it's a system. But the thing that's crazy is they're doing all of this, and yet the farm system's so good, too.
It's amazing.
So it's kind of a whatever, pun intended. It's rich get richer because they're a low payroll team, but they're loaded with assets. So it's incredible, and they're really good.
Everybody catch MLB Network this week. It's Young Stars Week, counting down the top 25 players in MLB under 25 years old across its programming. Plus, Scott calling tomorrow's Dodgers-Pirates game exclusively on YouTube TV 1230. Follow Scott at Scott Braun, B-R-A-U-N, on Twitter and Instagram. Scott, great stuff as always, man. We appreciate the time.
Great baseball talk, Adam and Dustin. I love it. Talk soon, guys.
Thanks, Scott. Scott Braun, MLB Network.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.